Sox. Breaking ball. Swing on, driven deep to left. Quad running out of room. It's gone.
Welcome to the Swing Podcast. I'm Jack Powers, your host. We have a lot to dive into today. Actually, not that much, but a good amount. Enough to talk about, right? Anyways, we have the game recap for today versus Detroit. We're going to talk about the matchups going into the Cleveland Guardians series after Detroit. Tomorrow's game at 10:10 a.m. and talk a little bit about a Jared Kelnick situation. So going into today's game, Mariners were 71-58. Going against the Tigers, who are 50-79 now. It was a 4:10 p.m. Pacific time game. Marco Gonzalez was taking the mound. He's 9-12 with a 3.97 ERA. And Mariners are currently in the second wildcard spot. They're a half game back from Tampa Bay. And they're taking on Tyler Alexander, who's 3-8 with a 4.83 ERA. He hasn't been doing that good. His last game against Texas on the 26th, he went three innings with eight hits and seven earned runs. So, not a fantastic pitcher this year for the Tigers, but, you know, he did hold his own. He didn't give up a lot of runs against the Mariners. We'll get into that. The lineup going into today's game was Julio, Ty France. He's back up to the 2 spot instead of the 5 spot after going 3-for-4 last night with 2 RBIs. Then the third hole, we have Mitch Haniger. Then fourth, Eugenio. Fifth was Santana, Cal. Then Adam Frazier was playing shortstop again. Toro was second base, and then in the ninth spot, we had Haggerty playing left field. So, Frazier remained at shortstop for JP. JP did not participate in today's game until the very end. He had one at-bat. We'll get there. But he did partake in a pregame workout in preparation for what people are saying is tomorrow's afternoon game, 10:10 a.m., depending on where you are, afternoon, morning. Anyways, I thought he'd be in today's lineup, but it sounds like they want to just give him the extra time. I mean, they're playing Detroit. It's not the best team in baseball, if we're being honest. So why risk it? You know, let him kind of work his way back into things. Anyways, though, I thought an interesting stat I saw by Aaron Goldsmith on Twitter before going into today's game was Cal Raleigh has 19 home runs this season and has caught 21 people stealing bases. So he's caught stealing 21 guys. He is one home run off of having a 20 home run, 20 caught stealing season, which the last Mariners catcher to do so was Mike Zunino in 2014. He had 22 home runs and he caught 29 people stealing base, which is pretty amazing. I didn't even realize that. I know he was a great player, but looking at the stats, it makes him look even way better. Anyways, so Cal Raleigh also on top of that has a shot at the single season home run record, which is also held by Zunino at 25. And in second place is Omar Narvaez with 22. So if he hits the 20th home run soon, he didn't hit it today, if I'm being honest, but if he hits 20, he'd be the only, he'd only be the third Mariners to ever do it. So that's pretty interesting stat. I didn't even realize it, but not many people talk about that. Anyways, let's get into today's game. Right off the bat, top of the first, Eugenio Suarez hit a two-run bomb, I like to say, 353 feet oppo home run to right field due to Julio Rodriguez drawing a leadoff walk. Ty struck out, then Mitch Haniger, and then, you know, here comes Suarez. Let's give it a listen.
Buys in, essentially. And you see that chase rate start to drop.
Well, this is really driven back. Out to right field. Gone just over the wall for a home run. Hey, Eugenio Suarez comes back to his old stomping grounds. He goes the opposite way. His 25th home run of the season, and now his 5th career year with 25 home runs or more.
And this is exactly what we're talking about with that plate discipline. You get.
So that home run would make it Suarez's 25th home run of the season. He has now tied the most home runs in MLB in the month of August at 9 home runs. Pretty impressive. And I heard Aaron Goldsmith say over the broadcast that the Tigers in August only have 13. Pretty interesting. Suarez has already hit 9 in August. That's crazy now that the month is coming to a close. Anyways, that lead wouldn't last long. In the bottom of the second, Jaime Candelario hit an RBI single against the Mariners with the runners on second and third, brought in a run, made it 2-1 Mariners. Then Gonzalez gave up a hit to, I guess it wasn't a hit, it was a ground out to Willie Castro with runners on third and first. That would bring in the runner from third. That would tie up the game 2-2 for Detroit. So going into the fifth inning, the Mariners kind of jumped on Alexander. I mean, he was fine. He had two outs in the inning. But the Tigers decided to pull him through 4.2 innings. He gave up four hits, two runs, of course, the home run to Eugenio, and had four strikeouts. Not bad. But they pulled him a little early. Mariners didn't even score off anybody in that inning. So nothing happened. And then in the bottom of the sixth, Gonzalez started getting some pressure again. Hi, Mayor Candelario singles to center field, bringing in Eric Haas, making it 3-2 Detroit. Candelario was all over Marco today. Couldn't stop him. Anyways, he finishes the inning. He gets pulled going into the seventh. So Marco ends up going six innings, seven hits, three runs, three earned, one walk, and only had one strikeout. Not bad, but he did give up the three runs. I know we didn't have a lot of runs at the time, but I mean, it's not a terrible performance when you look at it on paper. It felt like he was giving up a ton of hits, though. I mean, he gave up seven. It felt like more, though. And he's starting to become consistent, but three runs at the time, just and all the hits he's given up, it just doesn't seem good enough. Anyways, it would end up being just enough, as in the top of the seventh, with one out, Adam Frazier hit a triple. So one out with the man on third, Adam Frazier. Abraham Toro comes to the plate and hits a two-run jack to right field. Let's give it a listen.
Here's Toro. Toro with a blast to right field. Go ahead, bomb! Abraham Toro. First pitch, no doubt, gone, home run, and the Mariners take a seventh inning lead in the blink of an eye.
That would give the Mariners a 4-3 lead, and that would ultimately be the game-winning home run. But Mariners, of course, added some insurance runs, like they should. Top of the ninth, bases loaded, Ty France walked, making it 5-3 Mariners. Nothing huge, but you know, bases loaded, I mean, you might as well walk, right? Anyways, bullpen did great today. Mariners won 5-3. Munoz came in the seventh. He went one inning, zero hit, zero run, two strikeouts. Swanson came in. He pitched an inning, zero hit, zero runs, two strikeouts. And he now continues to lead the MLB in ERA. He is now sitting at 0.84. That's about 20 points higher than second place, which is, I can't remember who, but it's about 1.03, 1.1. Anyways, Paul Sewald comes in for the save. He pitches an inning. He did walk two, made it, you know, interesting, of course, for the Mariners, but he did have another two strikeouts. So a combined six strikeouts for the bullpen over three innings. They do their job. Mariners win 5-3. They improve to 72-58 now on the season. Marco Gonzalez gets the dub. He improves to 10-12, holding a 3.99 ERA now. Loss goes to Lange, one of the Tigers' bullpen pitchers, and Sewald gets a save. So now in the playoff standings, we're looking at Tampa Bay still holding the first wild card. They won again tonight, making it three straight for them. They're ahead by two games on Toronto for the third wild card spot. Seattle sits at the second one, a game and a half up on Toronto, and a half game back from Tampa Bay. They've won three straight. Toronto lost tonight, you know. And then Baltimore won tonight. Now they're only two games back on Toronto for that third wild card spot. Minnesota lost tonight. They remain three games back from the wild card spot, send two out. Anyways, tonight, if we're looking at the box score, J-Rod, 1-for-4. France, 1-for-4. Haniger went 0-for-5 tonight. Not really what he usually does. Eugenio Suarez, 2-for-4, two-run home run. He's starting to become quite the consistent hitter for us. If we look back on the beginning of the year, which is interesting. And then Abraham Toro, 2-for-3. Was I wrong yesterday? If you listen to the podcast, I said I hated him. I can't stand him. He's doing his job. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's looking like the guy we got right at the trade deadline last year. He had a two-run jack. Crawford pinch hit for him for the end of the game there, but he struck out just to get him at least a bat. That's okay. I might have been wrong about Toro, though, but at the end of the day, they're playing Detroit. It's not the best team in the world, so there's so many different angles and ways you can look at that. If they keep him for the Guardian series up, which they probably will, depending on what JP does and other guys' situations, who knows with Dylan Moore, you could expect something a little different. So we'll see how that goes. And then just keep in mind after this series, I mean, Mariners already won the series. They're up 2-0 in the three-game set. Hopefully they can sweep. They should sweep Detroit tomorrow. They have Logan Gilbert on the mound, who's 10-5 with a 3.49 ERA. And they're facing Eduardo Rodriguez, who's 3-3 with a 3.6 ERA. He's only played in 10 games this year, and he's a lefty. So we'll see how the Mariners do against that. And then the matchups going into the Cleveland series are fun. On Friday, you have Castillo pitching. Saturday, Robbie Ray. And then Sunday, George Kirby, who made the game one start against Detroit. And a very dominant one, of course. So we'll see how the end of the series goes. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But I'm looking forward to this Cleveland series. It's a big series. You might as well, if we can beat this, win this series against Cleveland, this would be huge for the Mariners for when it comes to the wild card spot and playoffs and all that. This is what they need. I can't complain about our starters anymore. I mean, they're doing their job. You can be mad at Marco maybe for giving up so many hits and runs, but end of the day, Mariners won. He only gave up three. And ideally, Mariners should be scoring more than three runs. So that should be, fine. So, you know, with our offense, it can be hard to sit here and be proud of Marco and what he's doing. And, whoa, that's too many runs, Marco. But at the end of the day, Mariners should be putting up more than three runs like they did tonight. And that's what a decent pitcher should do in the majors. So pitchers are starting to look very consistent. I can't complain. But I think we should move on to what happened with Jared Kelnick today. And I didn't really care about it. And I don't know if anybody really should care about it. It's not that big of a deal, but Jared Kelnick apparently unfollowed the Mariners on Instagram, deleted all the pictures of him in Mariners uniforms or just part of the M's organization in the AAAs, whatever it may have been. I didn't look. I just heard about it, and I saw everything going down. And it's very interesting that people would be upset about it. I can see it from both angles in where Mariners have done a lot of weird things to him. They brought him up maybe too early, first off, and then they take him out to not go play the team that drafted him, the Mets, who trade him away for Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz. You take him out of the starting lineup going into that road trip against the Mets. So that was a little interesting. I'm sure that frustrated him. He really wanted to probably play against them, see what he could do. And then you bring him up again midway through the season, and you don't give him, you don't really give him that much of a shot. It's more just like we had him up there to help out with injuries and all that. And then on top of that, you kind of just throw him back in AAA. You keep doing this to him. You keep probably messing with his mental capacity. I mean, he's hearing probably things from us fans. He's hearing things from everybody. So in that sense, he's probably frustrated. They're probably going to call it Mason McCoy for the whole J.P. Crawford, Dylan Moore injury situation, more Dylan Moore situation because he's probably going to be out for a little bit. But you keep doing this, and you call it Mason McCoy, who's batting .246 and maybe a little more now because I haven't looked at the stats in the last day. But it's a little interesting because Kelnick's batting really good. And he's not an infielder, but you can always move Haggerty in the infield as well. And he's a great infield player. He can play any position. So you have to look at it from that aspect. He's probably very frustrated, especially since the rosters are expanding here on Thursday or today. And that can probably be very frustrating for him. So you need to look at it from that aspect. At the same time, we shouldn't get on him about it. He still has the Mariners in his Twitter bio. And apparently near the end of the day or in the afternoon, he did follow the Mariners back on Instagram. So I don't know, who knows what was going on there, if it was like a hack or like he purposely did that with intention. I think he probably did. He was probably frustrated mentally and just was pissed, you know, in a way. I shouldn't say that, but he probably was. And you just got to remember that these guys are players. They're struggling. He's been through a lot this season. At the same time, though, you are a major league player and you have to adapt to that. There's so many different angles of this and there's so many different ways, but I will say you can't be on him too much about it. He's frustrated. Mariners will give him a chance next year. My worry is if we dive deeper into that, we might trade him if a team even wants him. He's struggling in the majors. He might be a AAA player for life. And there are guys who, like, what they call it is the quadruple or the quadruple level, where you can't bat very good in the majors, but you bat insanely good in AAA. And that could be the case. And it's not a bad thing. It's just, obviously, you want these guys to eventually come up into your system and play amazing. And he is a young player. He's 23. You can't expect him. Some guys, Ichiro didn't start playing in the majors till 27. Obviously, it was amazing. But there's a lot, like, you just look at all these stats from guys who used to play in the majors and what year and age they got called up. I mean, you still get, like, 30-year-old guys getting called up. And they've been playing in the minors forever. So you need to look at it from that aspect. You have to understand he's young. It's a lot of adjusting mentally, your environment, just everything. So it's hard, but at the same time, eventually he has to adjust to the majors. And I think they're going to give him a shot in spring training. I don't see why they wouldn't. And if he doesn't do good in spring training, they'll put him in AAA. They might call him up if they struggle next year, or if they do really good and, or, you know, injuries and all that. So there's so many factors in which he could get called up next year, but it's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because we don't really need an outfielder right now, if we're being honest, unless we get rid of Winker. And so there's so many, as I keep saying it and repeating it, I'm sorry, but too many aspects to look at, too many what ifs, and we don't know what's going to happen to him. So you just have to keep that in mind and you have to work with it and see what happens. It's all about next year. Next year, I think, is a make or break for him. So we'll see what Jerry Depoto decides with him and see what he decides for himself, because he might be frustrated and he might just want to leave. So who knows? I will see you tomorrow afternoon if you want to come in and listen to the podcast, because it's a morning game, 10:10 a.m. Remember that. It's going to be on Root. You can find it on MLB TV. I don't think it's broadcasted nationally, but, you know, go watch it or listen to the radio broadcast. If you don't, you can always come here and listen to the podcast. I'll give the recap tomorrow. I will see you then. Have a great day. Bye-bye.